Herod is a vineyard. These mountains are called the Vineyard of God, which tells us that in Bible times it was covered with vineyard. That's very interesting because just up on that hill, we're going to see in a few moments a little village, an Israeli village called Zichron Yaakov, in remembrance of Jacob. And this village is one of those early pioneer villages from the 1880s. The village brought the top of the hill, and you don't need me to tell you that you can't farm the top of a hill. So of course they didn't do very well on farming, and they asked a philanthropist called... Who's talking in the bus?
We are all talking.
Is going on.
Just like a good teacher.
His name was Baron Rothschild, and he realized that if they're on a hill, the only thing that they could make money from there is by planting vines. So Baron Rothschild brought in vineyards, planted them there, and that village, Zichron Yaakov, is where we have the most famous winery today, known as the Carmel Wines. Just here on the right and left of the road are fish ponds, and sometimes people are a bit surprised when they see a lot of water because they know we're a barren, dry country and everything. But don't forget, we're swamp area, and this is brackish water. It's not good for drinking, but it's very good for fish. And one of the most popular fish is the one that has the little carrot on the head. So if you're Jewish, you eat what's known as gefilte fish, which comes with a little carrot on. So they already swim around with that little carrot piece on so that they're ready for the dish. So this is all fish ponds here. Now, we don't have rivers, so we don't have places for people to go fish. So what they do here is this fish pond here on the left, this one, is the official fishing pond. And when you go there, you pay to go in, and they sign you up that you're not going to take more than 5 tons of fish out. Because, you know, you can't miss when you're fishing in a fish pond. Now, look on the right-hand side. When you want to know what's an Israeli village, it's always on the top of the hill. Because these were not farming people. But when we turn to the right here to get to our next major site, which is the site of the Mochaka, where Elijah has his showdown with the prophets of Baal on the Mount Carmel, we see on the left-hand side of the road a village, which is actually a village of the Israeli Arabs. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. We won't go into that right now. But because the Israeli Arabs were always farmers throughout the generations that they were living here, they never live on top of the hill. They always live on the side and close to their field. You don't want to go running down the hill every time you want to go to work your land. But as the village developed, it developed upwards. So you have a very interesting contrast here. On the left-hand side of the road, we have an Arab-Israeli village, which started at the base and is developing upwards. Then we look at the Israeli village, and that starts at the top and develops downwards. So it's just a completely different way of looking at where you're going to put your settlement. So the first region is the flat coastal plain, and as I said, it's the most well-developed, and in history, it's always the area that's going to be well-developed when you have a strong civilization coming in. Then we come to the mountains. Now, you know from any country you go to that the people who live in the mountains are always different from the people who live in the coast. All over the world is the same. So it's going to be a different population in the mountains. Now, mountains don't have big roads going through them. The most important thing to understand about Israel is we join together the two great ancient empires of Mesopotamia in the north and Egypt in the south. And the trade routes that join these places together are known as the Fertile Crescent. So So it sort of looks green like that on the map. So this would be Mesopotamia. This would be Egypt. And you see how it has to come through Israel. It can't go in a straight line, because that's desert. That big trade route did not come up to the mountains. Now, when Mesopotamia and Egypt liked each other, they traded. When they didn't like each other, they went to war. So the war routes came through Israel as well. And the battles between Mesopotamia and Egypt were always fought here in this country. So we're a sandwich between the two great ancient empires. But ancient roads don't go up to mountains. So if you need to be in an area where it's no major soldiers, because there's no big roads there, you go up to the mountains. So it's not by chance that in this area we find a group of people called the Druze. And the Druze, they are a breakaway of the Muslim religion, but today they're not connected to the Muslims at all. And it started actually 1,000 years ago when there was this caliph in Egypt, and he claimed himself the Messiah, and then he started doing all sorts of things people didn't like, and they tried to kill him. He escaped, and he escaped with his followers to here, and a prophet came along and he claimed him as the Messiah, and the prophet's name was El Daruzi, and they became known as the Daruzin or Druze. And this is a people who believe in reincarnation, so much so that they will ask young children, they will check if those children remember a former life. They have hundreds of stories of children saying, this was my former home, and going in. These are stories, I don't know how to validify them, but these are stories that we are getting from the Druze, that the kids go in and they know where to find things, and they know who the person was that they're reincarnated as. They take it really, really seriously, exactly as you have it in the Buddhist faith, you know, when they go and look for the next Dalai Lama, then they know it's a child born somewhere, and they ask him certain questions, and if he knows the answer, then, you know, that's it. So, they're very interesting people, and they're in the mountains because this is quite a good area to hide away, because no major roads go up into the mountains. So, we said Carmel means vineyard of God, and we know therefore that this was a fertile place in the Bible times. But we're going to talk about the famous showdown of Elijah. So I think that this time it's Pastor Tom who is going to give us a reading of the story, and if not, we'll elaborate a bit afterwards.
Okay, I'm going to be reading from 1 Kings chapter 18. Buckle up, because it's a nice long story. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his palace. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab had said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can yet find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so we will not have to kill any of our animals." So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground, and said, "Is it really you, my lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go and tell your master, Elijah is here." "What have I done wrong?" asked Obadiah, "that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And tell me. Elijah said, as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now, summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel. Bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Oh, Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder. He said, surely he is a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and might be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and let it be known that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you,